First of all, I want to say I enjoyed the morning service, and I have a lot. I mean, what Dennis said about Jeremiah 32:17. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And how do we see God? Do we see him small, or do we see him as he is? Out of weakness, we're made strong. What makes us so intrigued with a powerful testimony? It's faith. It's usually in times of great distress, in times of uncertainty, when all seems lost, when the odds are against us, that it draws us near and we await to hear what happens. There was a missionary who was expecting a child. Her condition was extremely poor, and as she was dying during her delivery, she prayed and had faith that her son was going to be a preacher. Faith in time of great distress. And not too long ago on Sunday, we read from Hebrews 11 as a church. What a beautiful chapter of men and women of faith. Let's just look at a few of these verses. Let's read Hebrews 11, 33 through 34. By faith they conquered kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, became brave in battle, caused the foreign armies to flee. Wow. Let's go back into the Old Testament and read a testimony that's written in 1 Samuel. It was a time when Saul just recently became king. There was no more music on the streets. The Philistines were dominating that entire region. They had no blacksmith amongst themselves because the Philistines were afraid that they would make swords for themselves. And then they would go against the Philistine army. But when Saul and Jonathan were the only two that had a sword. Everyone else had farm equipment. So when Jonathan attacked the garrison of Philistines, it caused an uproar. And in 1 Samuel 13:5, it says, the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand of the seashore. That's a lot. This was a very bad situation. Saul and his armies were hiding in every place possible. They were like sitting ducks. Now here is where the faith comes in. Let's read. I'm just going to read just throughout 14. And we'll see what happened that day. Now it happened on one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to a young man who bore his armor, come, let us go to the Philistines, the garrison that is on the other side. But he did not tell his father. The people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines of the garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. Now, listen to this. So as armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart. Then Jonathan said, "Very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we'll stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us." So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, "Look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they were hidden." Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will show you something." Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel." And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. The first slaughter which Jonathan and the armor bearer made was about 20 men within about a half an acre of land. There was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among the people and the garrison, and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked so that it was very great trembling. Later on it says, "And indeed every man's sword was against his neighbor, and there was great confusion. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had been hidden in the mountains, when they heard of the Philistines fleeing, also followed hard after them in battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day." Wow. What faith. Let's look at verse 13. Look, they were climbing on their hands and in their knees. Can you imagine them climbing up the cliff and the Philistines looking down and like, "These guys are crazy." But they weren't, because they had faith in God. Because of two men who believed God. Jonathan knew the scriptures. We know that by verse 6. It says, "For nothing strains the Lord from saving by many or by few." He must have known in Leviticus 26:8, it says, "Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you." And not only that, I bet you he knew the story of Shamgar, which are written in Judges 3:31. It says, "After him, Shamgar, who killed 600 men of the Philistines with a spear, and he also delivered Israel." Jonathan knew the promise of God, and most likely knew about Shamgar. Major Vivian Gilbert, a British Army officer, during the World War I, located in the same place thousands of years later, up against the Turkish army, reading the testimony of Jonathan and the armor bearer, being inspired by this story, and since they were in the same location, they did the same exact thing. And guess what? The Turks also fell into great confusion that morning, started at each other, resulted in the victory of the British army during the World War I. Wow. Jonathan's testimony inspired an act of faith for Major Gilbert in World War I. Now we also have Jesus' testimony in the New Testament. When all seemed to be lost, Christ rose from the grave, and now we have eternal life. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. What promises we have. There was a preacher that said there's actually five gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and there's the Christian life. Well, guess what, everyone? Majority of the people you know have never read the first four. They have your life in front of them. the fifth gospel. But they are watching us, seeing in who we believe. That missionary lady that I was talking to you about, the one I mentioned earlier, she did have a baby boy, and she did survive. But her faith was not shaken when she found out he was going to play football. Seems like it's far away from being a preacher. We know this because we know that her faith wasn't shaken when she found out, because we know this with that when he was young, they said, no matter what platform God puts you on, use it for the glory of God. His football career started to progress. His name was Tim Tebow. One day after a live game, when the world was watching, he decided to go out in faith and write John 3:16 right underneath his eyes. So the cameras, when he's playing, would zoom in and see John 3:16. Twitter crashed for a little bit. People were trying to search, what does John 3:16 mean? In that moment, he was preaching to all those who were watching. The story doesn't end there. It gets better. Exactly 3 years later, during the Super Bowl, they won because of his amazing throw, which led to a touchdown. But that's not the amazing part. The amazing part is what God did that day. After the game, his friend came to him and said, you wouldn't believe what happened. He's like, we won. He's like, no, you wouldn't believe it. You threw exactly 316 yards. You averaged 31.6 yards per completion. The game finished exactly at 31.6 seconds. And the final quarter TV rating was 31.6 million viewers. That night, the enemy fled. And the gospel sounded worldwide. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. This game will be in the history books. I believe that years later, some young man will be inspired by Jonathan's win, he will be inspired by Tim Tebow's win, and will likewise choose to trust the Lord and allow God to work through him to show the world that Jesus is and is to come. Thursday, I had a privilege praying with a family. They just took all their savings, all their hard-earned money, and they gave it to a friend who was supposed to invest it all. Every last penny they gave to him. And he was sitting there completely just shocked that his friend betrayed him, took all the money, and fled. Talk about a bad situation. It was an opportunity for me to share Jonathan's story, to tell him to trust his situation to the Lord in faith, and he will be amazed of what the Lord will do. And personally, I'm excited to see what happens. I know the Lord will act. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there's us. The fifth gospel. How are we doing? It's true, I have to admit. It's so much easier to tell others what to do and encourage them of what God will do for them. Because I almost see when I'm talking to somebody else, I could almost see God working in their situation and how he's going to deliver. But when it comes to my life, sometimes I'm in situations where I have lack of faith. That's where we need each other, guys. We need to encourage each other. So I want to encourage you today. Use the platform that God put you on. Use your situation to walk by faith. Allow the stories in the Bible to become alive, to become personal. How dangerous it is when we teach our kids about the stories in the four Gospels, but ourselves do not do what they say. That's dangerous because they see us. They're growing up and they look at our life. They're watching to see if we believe. I promised Elsa that I was going to bring her tape, masking tape, from the office. She said, Elliot, she said, Daddy, don't forget to bring the tape back to home. And I said, Elsa, I promise I won't forget. I even left a little reminder for myself. I come back home and guess what? I forgot. And she's there, Dad, where's the tape? So I didn't want to look like I forgot, so I ran downstairs while Grandma was walking in. I ran downstairs, grabbed it out of the closet, put it in my pocket, and I said, here. She's like, oh, thank you. I tricked her. And I knew. And I told her, Elsa, I'm sorry, but I tricked you. When you thought I had the tape, I actually forgot. Will you forgive me? She said, yes, Daddy, because I know of way too many stories in this Bible of people who were tricking people, and it didn't end well. So we have to believe that. Even as little as that, our children are watching how we're going to act. By faith, they conquered kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became brave in battle, caused the foreign armies to flee. And on Jesus' words, I would like to end. Jesus says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Amen. Let's pray, and I'll end in prayer.